It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Can I get a year? Last show of the week for me, KM to 2 a.m. Let's run through the tape. Obviously, we're going to start with the Knicks, and there's no such thing as a moral victory, right? Moral victories are for minor league coaches, but I'm going to speak freely in a minute, and you'll understand what I have to say about that game tonight. The Yankees go down to Tampa, their home away from home, and get back in the win column. Nobody beats the Riz, Clark Schmidt. I think that was his longest outing of the year, and the bullpen does what they're supposed to do, and I think the Mets right now are trying to fight and come back in the bottom of the ninth with two outs, down two runs, trying to make it happen. But they're down 4-2 to the hated Atlanta Braves. At least they got the black jerseys back. 877-337-6666. We're going to talk Mets. We're going to talk Yankees. But just allow me to speak freely about the New York Knicks as someone whose heart is not in this series, this run at all. And if you've heard me on The Fan, I think my position as a Nets fan but not a hater puts me in a good position to just watch the series, watch the team, the players, the coach, how they play, and just understand that, like, these guys don't give two Fs about who's on the floor, who they're playing against, what the spread is, what Draymond Green has to say, Tim Hardaway, Mark Jackson, the Booger Man, Reggie Miller, you feel me? Like, the Knicks do not care if they're down four guys, Julius Randle, Bojan Bogdanovic, Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, they played a good chunk of basketball a couple months ago without Mitchell Robinson, OG Anunoby, and Julius Randle. When you talk about next man up, which is used a lot in sports, no, these are the next man up Knicks. They'll play you 4-on-5. They do not care, bro. They're not shook of anybody. And it kind of makes you think about like boxing, like a fighter. And even a fighter that might be like a street fighter even. You know, like a street fighter that might not be the biggest guy, might not have the longest reach, might not be the tallest or the heaviest guy, but he's got a heart. And it's funny, they got I Heart and Josh Hart, no pun intended, but they have so much heart. And that's why I can't hate on them, right? That's why I'm looking at these Knicks and I'm like, yo, they're well suited for this. They're up 2-0 in the series, now 2-1. But watching that game tonight, I'm laughing because all the crying that Rick Carlisle and the small market Pacers had to do, all the 78 calls that were sent to the league, you knew that there was going to be a different whistle. You knew there was going to be a different approach by the officials in this game. And, you know, shout out to Tom Thibodeau for wearing them out. You know, he was hot tonight, and he should have been. And he was trying to challenge calls late or whatever, and there was a few calls. But, like, if you're a Knicks fan, they were up in that game. And if you're a Knicks fan watching it down the stretch, it was another game that they almost stole late. It almost played right into their hands. You know, Nemrod threw up a prayer, and he must stay prayed up because he wasn't having a good game, but his prayer was answered. And as I watched the Knicks through this run, I just realized they don't care about the national narrative. They don't care about the past, the LOL Knicks, what the Knicks used to be. Man, that core of those three Villanova Knicks, the Villanova three of Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, Delaware Jordan, the Big Ragu, Josh Hart. Like, these guys have a championship pedigree, and they understand what it takes to win. 877-337-6666. You don't win on paper. You don't win in a pregame. You win on the floor. And you got to give credit today to the guys that stepped up off the bench. Like Alec Burks, we were laughing at the 44 seconds that he came in, the shot that he put up in game two, and then went to sit right back down. But man, he gave you a hell of a second quarter. He gave you 21 minutes tonight. And he's a veteran that had no choice. Jericho Sims, we were talking about when Mitchell Robinson went down. And I'm like, he's glued to the bench, but he had to step in there for a little bit tonight. But really, Miles McBride and Precious Achiuwa, you know, these guys being forced into action in game three in the second round of the playoffs, you know, they had to step up and be role players. And they did enough where that game was supposed to be in favor of the Pacers by 7, and the Pacers barely win by 5. 87-7, 33-7, 66-66. It was exciting again. I mean, the Knicks were rolling again. Dante DiVincenzo, Dante's Inferno. 35 points for him, 7 threes. Did y'all bet on I wish I had a show during the game. I would have told y'all, yo, bet Dante to step up with OG going down. And his most productive game on offense. Dante DiVincenzo knows he has to be what? The Batman to Jalen Brunson's Robin. And Jalen Brunson's foot is definitely an issue, right? You know, we knew he was going to play, and you knew if he was going to play, they had a chance. But that sore foot early on, you could see it's there. It's a thing. I won't say it's a problem. I won't say it's necessarily bothering him, but he's feeling it. And no one is healthy at this point in the NBA season. No one's completely healthy. There were a lot of guys limping around late in the game. Isaiah Hartenstein, Tyrese Halliburton. And it's going to be interesting how the rest of the series plays out. You know the NBA wants it to go 7. You know for the ratings and the money and the dollars. I mean, speaking of the dollars, I just was in the bathroom listening to 10-10 Wins. They said all in a trip to Indianapolis is like $1,100. Cheaper than good seats in the Garden. You could fly out there, get a hotel at one of the chain hotels around the arena, around the city area. And they said tickets were as low as $75 to see the Hicks versus the Knicks. And I know you saw them ugly-ass Pacers fans with their Boom Baby shirts on. They were shooketh. You could see it in their faces that they were like, no way are we going to lose this game tonight. And Breen kept saying, and they kept mentioning in the broadcast, you know, nobody's coming back from down 3-0. That was their best shot. That was desperation. And they did not look that great. They had me saying, man, the Pacers aren't You know why? Because, like, that's what you're getting out of these guys. The Knicks are down 4 guys. And the Knicks already survived the series against better competition in the Philadelphia 76ers and the reigning MVP and an emerging star in Tyrese Maxey. Right? Tyrese Halliburton, he's not, I don't know, bro. I know he's an all-star and they try and say he's a star, but he certainly has some quiet 30-point games. It does not ever feel like he's dominating the game. I mean, who had a better looking 35 points, him or DiVincenzo? And like I said, they got lucky. Nimhard, with that shot late, he was trash, bro. He ended up with, what, 5 points? Andrew Nimhard, shout out to my guy Chris Splash, Christian Winfield wrote, Andrew Nimhard was 0 of 6 with 0 points before making a key layup and then a 3-point bomb from 30 feet out to give the Pacers a 109-106 lead over the Knicks with 16.4 seconds left in the fourth. Are you kidding me? That was their best shot, a prayer to save their season. I wouldn't play OG. You can win the rest of the series without OG. I wouldn't play OG the rest of the series. And if you don't think that the New York Knicks, who don't care who's out there on the other side, don't care who they have out, if you don't think that them seeing the Celtics lose a game last night gave them some kind of power, some kind of boost, it definitely did. They wanted to take the Pacers down. They were looking to sweep. I think Sunday they can win that game. Rest up, ice up. Coach them up. Tibbs, watch the film. But I just watched that game tonight, and I'm like, well, you know the whistle is going to be in favor of Indiana and the Pacers. I saw they showed some guy with a picture of Josh Hart pushing Tyrese Halliburton in the back. He printed out a little 8x10 photo that said cheater. Small market with a small margin for error. That game was too close for a team that, like, I'm just not impressed by the Pacers. I don't think that they win this series in any way. Unless Jalen Brunson goes down, God forbid, I don't see them beating the Knicks in this series. 877-337-6666. Shout out to the Knicks fans that traveled out there and the Knicks fans that live out there. You could clearly hear, let's go Knicks chants, deuce chants, like, and you could see how scared their fans were of losing that game. And they were really close to losing that game. No moral victories, but that is definitely a game that these New York Knicks, they go back to the hotel, they sleep tonight, they, you know, get some rest tonight, tomorrow, and they know, yo, these guys, if we play a little bit better. It was funny today. I was at MLB Network, and I was in the gym, and I was listening to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. Just that theme song takes me back, but shout out to them. And Joe B slipped in that, you know, the Knicks with the foul shots, Ewing, you know, back in the day with Ewing missing the foul shots, and it was kind of ominous. It was like, why are you talking about Ewing, bro? That was 30 years ago. What does Ewing missing his foul shots have to do with these Knicks? They actually were hitting their foul shot. Brunson was perfect from the foul line. And, I mean, Josh Hart, Brunson, they missed some foul shots down the stretch that could have changed that game. Guys are hurt. Guys are tired. But I also don't want to hear anything else about the conditioning and the coach running these guys into the ground. No, I think that benefits them. That's their style of play. Them being conditioned and them being used to playing the full game, it usually benefits them. I would say 8 out of 10 times it benefits them. This was one of the two times, right? Like when the Sixers beat them in Game 5. And now the Pacers beat them in Game 3, where down the stretch, they don't get the calls. They don't make their foul shots. They don't make the shots, make the plays to win the game. But all in all, you feel good about the series? I think you do. Knicks fans, call me up and tell me how you feel. Like I said, as a non-Knicks fan, as an NBA fan, a hoop fan, a New York radio host, just like not having my heart into this. Like, I listen to our hosts all day that are Knicks fans, and I think a lot of their thoughts and takes, like, you shouldn't have gone into that game thinking you were going to lose. They don't think they're going to lose. And that was a game they definitely could have won. And I think they're looking at Game 4 like, we're going to win. And then we're going to go home and close this series out, Knicks in 5, not Knicks in 6, because the first series should have been Knicks in 5. The Pacers are not better than the Sixers. The Pacers faced the Bucks in Round 1 without Giannis playing a single game. The Pacers also had a game off from Dame time. The Pacers had to deal with an old Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis. The Pacers are not, in my opinion, getting out of this series unless the officials just are that lopsided, and it's not going to go that way. Man, it's quiet over there at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. The Knicks were comfortable over there because they're used to playing in the Garden, which is a madhouse. They're coming out of New York. They're tough. They have the mindset. Right? As I said, it's like a fight. They're not going to lose this fight. All right, you got us. You got us this one. But there's another round and another round. They're not going to lose this series. I just think that when you look at them without having 4 players that they were relying on all season, guys that they missed for part of the season, guys that you wish you had now, and they still play a game like that against the Pacers, you got to feel pretty good about your chances to advance. 877-337-6666. Again, the Yankees win a little 2-0 shutty. I'll take it. And I'm glad that it wasn't, you know, too exciting of a Yankee game because the focus was on the Knicks game and the games kind of started around the same time. Nobody beats the Riz. It's Rizzo's game, right? Rizzo with the single, Rizzo with the homer, the two ribbies, and that's all you need to beat the Tampa Bay Rays, who, like, not for nothing, they're a fourth-place team. They're a game under 500, and I think the Yankees take this series. I think the Yankees could possibly sweep. 877-337-6666. Clark Schmidt, well done. Clark Schmidt, appreciate you. We'll definitely talk tonight about the Yankees rotation as we anticipate Gerrit Cole's return. You saw Gerrit Cole, if you watched the broadcast, how he's coaching everybody up. He's active. I think it's because he's itching. He's getting closer and closer to a return. Cole is on everything as he's about to come back. Nick Birdie, welcome back. Nick Birdie stays with a 0.00 ERA. Luke Weaver, sneaky, the most unassuming, right? I saw something on social media about how when Luke Weaver is in cabs or Ubers, Lyfts in NYC, and you know, they ask, you know, what do you do for a living? And he says he's a baseball player. They don't believe him. Yeah, well, that guy's touching 96, 97 fastball. He's pretty decent. I kind of forget about him in this bullpen. And Clay Holmes, his mama call him Clay, I'ma call him Clay. You're going to call him an all-star in about a month. If he keeps this up, Clay Holmes is going to be an all-star again. He's going to be heading to Arlington for his second all-star game, and we got to put respect on his name. 877-337-6666. He's got 12 saves. And the Mets, that game goes final. It's over now. They lose to the Braves 4-2. Jose Quintana is consistently not good. He's consistent, but, like, not good enough. I won't say he's bad, but, like, he gives it up. And every time SNY posts his line for the game, I'm like, yeah, consistent. Few hits, few runs, just not great for a guy that you signed expecting more. Not great for a guy who, you know, just a couple years ago was starting postseason games for the St. Louis Cardinals, and I mean, the St. Louis Cardinals are a last place team now, but you got to see Adrian Hauser today. As I'm thinking about who they're going to convert out of the rotation for the Yankees when Gerrit Cole comes back, if they do that, Adrian Hauser is now in the Mets bullpen. Mets fans, call me up. I saw Brett Beatty make an amazing play, flashing the glove and in the athleticism again at third base. But all in all, the Mets lose 4-2 to the hated Braves in the first game of this series. Friday night, black jerseys are back. And, yeah, in that third inning, that's all it would take to win it. And Ronald Acuna Jr., he hasn't had the MVP start to this season. But Ronald Acuna Jr., he's ready to come to New York and face the Mets. So he homers. Ozzie Albies homers, and then Matt Olson had been on a streak of homerless games. He homers, and it's just like, Jose, 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 Jose. Not good enough. Not good enough. And shout out to Lindor, putting bat to ball. He homers late. Pete Alonso adds to what he's been doing as of late, but all in all, it's not enough to get the win, not enough to rally, not enough for the make it happen Mets to make it happen tonight. So we've got Knicks conversation to lead the way, Yankees conversation right behind that, and Mets fans join the show with your thoughts and your takes from the game that you saw tonight. Let's break here, Connor. We'll break here and come back. Coming up, my Casamigos big shot of the night and your calls. It's Friday night. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to 2 a.m. We'll be back right after this. About the Benjamins, baby. I thought that Knicks money line was about to hit, boy. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. Call me up. Let's see if I can get a call or two in before we break and do the Casamigos big shot of the night. The Knicks lose barely. The Yankees win barely. The Mets lose barely. I could see barely. P.O.P., hold it down. Aiden is out in Yonkers. Aiden, you're on the Fan.
Hello. Hey, what's up? It's Aiden here from Yonkers. I just got to talk about the Yankees for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, we win 2-0 today, right?
Right.
I mean, I just don't see it. I don't buy it with these guys. Last night in Houston, Volpe had the at-bat.
They weren't in Houston last night. They were in the Bronx.
We were in the Bronx the last time we played against Houston, and guess what happened? We struck out. This guy Judge for the last 7 years.
What do you mean we? They lost by a run. They were in the game.
No. This guy Judge, time after time, just like
Judge
my past
hit a ball to the
today.
Fresh Direct Terrace. Judge hit a ball to the fresh Direct Terrace, 473 feet. If y'all are drunk, don't just call up yapping. Like, let's have an actual sports conversation because there's people listening that do want to talk about the Yankees, about the Knicks. Like, if you're going to call up and troll and try and bash the Yankees who are rolling right now, no, that's what we're not going to do. Let's take a Knicks call instead. Mike is in Yorktown. Mike, you're on the Fan.
Hey, KM, what's going on? Good to be on with you.
Yeah, you know, I got it. Thanks for calling, Mike.
Yeah, first of all, forget Aiden. I mean, he must have been having
a little. No, he came in the wrong way. He came in the wrong way.
Yeah. You know what? I don't blame him. You know, it's Friday night. Let him live.
Go do that elsewhere, though. Finish your beers. Have a good time. I'm at work.
You know, yeah, I remember my first beer. but anyway, I wanted to call about the Knicks. You know, a lot of people might say that they blew it tonight, and they pretty much did. You know, they had the game well in hand. They had every opportunity to seal it. Didn't come down. But you know what? I want to put a positive spin on it. I want to say that, you know, a lot of me and my boys were talking about it before the game. We were saying things like, you know what, why don't they rest Brunson? OG's out. Just let a bench, like, do a bench game, basically, almost right, like they do with pitching and baseball.
Yeah.
And what we came up with from this game is that we basically just signed Alec Burks. You know, like, he was on the bench. He had 40 seconds?
44 seconds, yep.
Yeah. Well, we just got him almost like he's back from injury or something like that. So we now have another player we could turn to on the bench. We don't have to have guys playing 48 minutes, even though, to be honest with you, I don't want Hart to rest for another minute for the rest of the playoffs. You know, if he could do it, he could do it. I don't think his heart's going to give out. But other than that, you know, Brunson looks a little bit hobbled. I think that he'll be okay. You know, it's going to be a management thing. We might get OG back next game. And the biggest thing of all is, even in their home arena, the Pacers do not scare me.
Right.
They don't scare the Knicks.
I can't say the Knicks blew it when they were 7-point dogs. I can't say the Knicks blew it when half the fan base was ready to concede the loss with the news of OG being out, you know? Like, if anything, they played better than majority of us expected, and they actually reaffirmed the thought that a lot of us had, that these guys are dudes, dogs, and they don't care. Their mentality is, we're going out there to play hard and win no matter who's on the floor. And I think, like I said, there's no moral victories, but you can take a loss like that and nobody feels demoralized. If anything, you're like, yo, they could win this next game in Indiana if it comes down to the stretch, down to the wire like that. And it's a couple calls from officials, foul shots being made, a goaltend, a prayer three. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. The reason why I say they blew it, it kind of feels like, you know, the beginning of the game, they made a bit of a run, the Pacers. And then all of a sudden, the Knicks not only roared back, but they took control of the game. It was like when Russia was chanting for Rocky in Rocky IV. You know, it was like they had completely knocked the crowd out of the game. And I just think that if the Knicks can do what they did tonight, the next game, maybe with OG, I think it's going to be a different outcome. Like you said, Knicks in 5, coming back to the Garden, Tuesday night, it's going to be wild.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I wouldn't play OG. I would not be playing OG Sunday. And I wouldn't be worried about the Indiana Pacers crowd growing. It's not Philly. It's not Philadelphia. And it's a Sunday 3:30 game. If they couldn't get up for Friday night, come on, yo. I won't say the Knicks blew this game. They lost the game. They lost a close game that they almost had. The only thing that they blew was a chance to sweep this series, right? They blew the chance to end this series in 4 games because we know the other series is going 5 games in the East. 877-337-6666 coming up next. My Casamigos big shot of the night. You're listening to Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming right back.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And we gotta roll with the winners. The Yankees win, so the Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is Anthony Rizzo. Nobody beats the Riz, Don Antonio Rizzo. He did it. He won the game himself. the single early in the fourth inning, and then the insurance run, solo shot late. Appreciate you, Riz. Glad you're not concussed. Glad you're seeing it. Glad you're proving everybody you can still get it done. You're not washed. You're not old. Actually, batting sixth in the lineup, I like you down there. In his last, let's say, let's go to his last 15 games. In his last 15 games, he's got 18 hits, 5 homers, 12 ribbies, 5 walks. He's batting 321 in that span. Come on, yo. Anthony Rizzo, Casamigos, big shot of the night. I see you, Riz. 877-337-6666. On a team with Aaron Judge, who's starting to look like Aaron Judge again. On a team with Juan Soto, who's looking like an American League MVP candidate. On a team with Giancarlo Stanton, who's hitting the ball harder than everybody in baseball. On a team with young promising talent like Anthony Volpe and Oswaldo Cabrera. You appreciate the dog and Alex Verdugo, but a guy like Anthony Rizzo, who is a World Series champion, who is a multi-time All-Star, and definitely just like the commander-in-chief next to Judge's captain, he led the way tonight, and he won the game. That's all on Riz. A little bit on Clark Schmidt in the bullpen as well, but he put up the 2 runs to win the game 2-0. 877-337-6666. Ryan is in Hazlitt on the Fan in New York.
Yo, what's up, Keith? How you doing, my Duke?
Good, boy. How are you?
Yo, I would have thrown on some Jaquan. Yo, everybody getting clubbed, getting tipsy with that guy's call. So, oh, man. Yo, one thing about the Knicks. Yo, the biggest thing about them, they're grinders. Regardless of whatever these big guys are going to say, oh, the Knicks. They grind you down, and they play defense, they play tough, and that's what I love about this team. It's not like you got these superstars, and I actually don't think the league likes it that the Knicks have a team with, you know, guys who are good players, and they're like, and then we're just all boisterous because we know we got a good team.
Yeah, yeah, they don't have a Giannis, they don't have a LeBron, they don't have a Luka. They just have a bunch of guys that nobody thought from even college coming into the league we're going to be stars, be anything, and they play team basketball. They play good ball. They're fun to watch. That's why I'm not hating on them. I've watched all these playoff games. I watched them this whole season, and their style of basketball keeps them in a lot of games, and more than not, they're going to win games like that down the stretch.
Oh, they got guys who just want ball, you know? That's all it is. They just want a ball on both sides of the court. And then Tibbs got them all working somehow, you know? So that's how it always works, you know? The best... when it comes to the playoffs, it ends up becoming the best team at some point. You know, I know talent in the NBA comes out, but, you know, if you've got a team, whole team working.
All in all, it's a team game. One guy can take over the game, but you need so many guys to make plays, to rebound, to make the right pass, to knock down foul shots, to be smart and not foul in certain situations. And I think they have the right guys.
Yeah, and then that's the same thing with the Yankees. You got the whole team playing right now, you know?
Yeah, with, any night.
It's so funny how, like, the team is 650 winning percentage, and everybody's like, I don't know about this guy and this guy. I'm like, guys.
I don't know what they're watching. I don't know. I watched the Yankees go 82-80 last year. I don't know what anyone is watching this year that they're not smiling about the 2024 Yankee team.
We didn't have Judge for a month, basically. And we didn't have Cole for a month.
We don't have Garrett Cole. We don't have the reigning Cy Young winner. We don't have Cole Day every 5 days.
Yeah. Like, seriously. Like it's like, come on, guys. You know, it's like this team
they,
is just...
They just expect them to be the 98 Yankees and win the World Series the first month of the season.
Oh, yeah. And it's one thing on a lighter note. What did you think about Ben Simmons' outfit at the Met Gala?
All right, I got to let you go, Ryan. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you. Once a Duke, always a Duke. Shout out to JMU. That's my guy, Ryan, who spent a couple of semesters down in Harrisonburg, as did I. He got out of there. And some like 3-4 years later, I spent some time down there and got right up out of there. If you know, you know. But, yeah, I'm content with the Yankees right now. Stay healthy. Get healthier. Keep getting guys back. We'll see, right? We'll see. 877-337-6666. Let's keep going to the calls and the phones. Man, I appreciate you guys. On a Friday night after 11 o'clock, we've got a bunch of calls. I'm going to roll through them. I'm on till 2, and we're going to run through the tape. I want to get all your thoughts and takes on the Knicks game. Tell me what you saw, what you felt, how you feel about the rest of the series. Charlie is in Queens next up on the Fan.
Hello, I'm sorry a little delayed. I was on my headphones, but I wanted
good.
To go on phone.
I gotcha.
Okay, first, the Knicks, they remind me of Rocky Balboa. Every time you think they're out, they come back.
That's great. You're the second guy with a Rocky reference, and maybe that's what I was thinking too when I was comparing him to a fighter, to a boxer. Yeah, they're Rocky. Forget Philadelphia.
And with the Yankees, I was at the Tuesday game.
I was there, too.
I was the guy who gave you the Beware of Dork sign.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What's up, bro?
You're a creature. You inspired me. I'm even wearing the dog collar. My friends are like, what's up with the dog collar? I said, Verdugo, bro.
Yeah. At least we have something, right, this year to play into. And as soon as you handed me that sign, Verdugo hit the three-run bomb. And I'm like, yo, this is, like, play into it. It's fun.
It's Kizma. Oh, and Chico.
And Chico got that ball.
The guy next to me. Yeah, Chico got the ball because the guy next to me didn't know it hit off Chico. So I'm hearing the person next to me go, oh, please give Chico the ball. And I went up to the guy, I tapped, and I said, dude, can you give it to Chico? He's an old guy. He's the one who holds the flag. He goes, yeah. He holds the flag?
Give you give
the
that ball. Ball to Chico. And they started chanting. And I saw Chico posted that on his Facebook, and he was so happy about that. Good. Chico is my OG. I love Chico.
I love him, and, you know, I love you. I'm a mild bleacher creature, but,
you're
his
there.
Family.
You're there. I've seen you there a bunch, and I know you might not be as loud or as crazy as some of the rest of us in the section when we get going, but that was a hell of a game Tuesday. It was fun. And, yeah, you passed me the energy. I have that Beware of Dog sign. I have two now. I have the one I have, and it's at my house. And I have yours up here in my locker at WFAN.
Excellent. And just one last thing is with the Yankees, people got to stop complaining. When we're 12 games above 500 this early,
yeah,
just enjoy.
Yeah, I don't get it. I read Yankees Twitter and people want to, you know, it's one thing to complain about a Gleyber Torres. It's one thing to complain about, you know, but it's like all in all, this team is good. They're hitting their stride. Any night, somebody can be the hero, whether it's Verdugo like it was Tuesday night with us, whether it's Rizzo, whether it's Soto so many times. Like, this is fun. This is how it's supposed to feel. They're the New York Yankees. This is what they're supposed to look like. They're winning.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night, and long live the evil empire.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Charlie. Yeah, that was great. Shout out to Millie, too. If you guys saw the picture I put up, one's on the clock as I unlock my phone. There was a picture that I put up Tuesday at the game where I was like, I tried to tell him and I had the dogs and I had the Beware of Dog sign. My guy Charlie from Queens is in the bleachers a couple rows back. He spots me, hands me the Beware of Dog sign, and then Verdugo takes Verlander deep, and it was lit after that. 10 runs. And then the next night, 9 runs. And Aiden from Yonkers calls to say, oh, these guys were out in Houston. All they did was strike out. I don't know what you're talking about, bro. They swept last time they were in Houston, and they were in the Bronx. And the Houston Astros teed off on Marcus Stroman in the first inning, and that's all they had to break a almost 10-game losing streak to the New York Yankees. If you're a Yankee fan, how can you be upset with the New York Yankees right now, dominating our current rival, not the Red Sox, our arch nemesis right now, the team that you lose sleep over, the team that you wake up and it's game 6 and Altuve, buzzer, 877-337-6666. John is in Newburg, New York. John, you're on the Fan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Listen, there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about. I told your producer I wanted to talk about the last shot, Brunson's last shot. But before I hang up, I wanted you to also realize something. Well, first of all, I do a lot of coaching. I played a lot of sports, and I played ball, you know. And I always tell the guys, look, the final score is going to indicate who has the most rebounds in the game. And if you look at the totals, like if you're sitting there watching this Nick game tonight and you had the stats with you, maybe on your phone, looking at the box score, and you'll see Indiana take a 6-point lead, and then you look at how many rebounds are total at that point, you'll see Indiana has maybe a 6-rebound advantage. And then you'll see a Knicks make a run and take the lead, and then you look at the rebound totals, and the Knicks will be up by 2 or 3 points or 2 or 3 rebounds. It sort of goes hand in hand. And at the end of the game tonight, when you looked at the final score, Knicks lost, okay, by 5, and yet when you look at the rebounds,
even
it was 42-41, Indiana won by the 1 rebound. And that 1 rebound was on the missed shot by Brunson at the end. They got the rebound. They got fouled.
Yeah.
So they had the 1 extra rebound, and they hit the 2 foul shots to make the 3-point lead a 5-point lead.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, knowing all this, what I'm saying is, so he makes the big shot, a desperation shot at the end of the, you know, the Indiana guy makes a desperation shot. He was 1 of 7 going into that shot at the buzzer. Timeout, 17.1 seconds left. Knicks make a play. They call the play in the huddle. They send out 5 3-point shooters. And Brunson gets the ball and shoots it with 12 seconds left, triple teamed. And I'm wondering, you know, you draw the triple team. You have 12 seconds remaining on the clock shot, in the game shot, okay? You have a triple team, pull it back out.
Yeah, make the right play.
Swing it around to DiVincenzo, who's 7 of 11 at that point, when Brunson was 2 of 6, okay? DiVincenzo was on fire all night. It was the best game of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, try to find a way to get the ball to him. Yeah. I realize Brunson's your man.
Right.
He's been your man all year.
Closing time in the fourth quarter, he's the guy. He's your closer.
He's your guy, and he's not having it tonight. Okay, he's 10 of 26 from the field. DiVincenzo's 12 of 26, but he's 7 of 11 from 3 tonight. And you've got a triple team with 12 seconds left. You know, I mean, draw up a play where you draw the triple team, somebody runs at you, maybe it's Alex Burks, and he catches the pass and swings it around, and you got DiVincenzo.
All in all, thanks for the call, John. All in all, like, and like, I just got it. We got to move it on. We're not going to go through every single, like, what it could have, should have. Like, it, all in all, they didn't make the right plays down the stretch. That's going to happen. But you're not going to fault Brunson. You're not going to think that Brunson's supposed to give it up to Dante DiVincenzo in the moment. It is what it is. You know, it is what it is. He wants to take the shot. He's been the guy to take the shot. He had, what, 21 points in the fourth the other night? It's a loss. It's a series. It's the first loss in a series. It's okay. Don't live in every second of, like, I'm looking at the play-by-play right now. You can't live in every second of the, like, well, if they could have did this or they could have did that. Live in the overall thought that you had in that game. Wow, this is the first game without OG Anunoby. These guys are going back to the team that they had to play with in March, April. They're getting guys off the bench like Jericho Sims, Alec Burks, that haven't played, and they're contributing. And they are not just competing, they are leading. They are beating the Pacers in their building in the playoffs. And I think it bodes well for the next game. I can't look at Brunson and all that he's done and be like, man, he didn't make the right play giving it up to DiVincenzo. He shot a shot. And you know what? When you look at the Pacers and how lucky they got down the stretch, like I said, Nembhard hits a 31-foot step-back jump shot with 17.1 left to make it 109-106. Knicks timeout. Okay, that is a prayer answered. Sometimes the basketball gods smile on you. Maybe he's prayed up because he had a terrible game. Maybe he's just prayed up like that, where God smiled on him and the basketball gods said, hey, give him one, man. These Indiana folks need it, man. Hicks versus Knicks, they've been crying all week about the officiating and the calls. Nembhard has finished with 5 points. He was 1 of 3, and that 1-3 won the game for them. Is that going to happen the next game? Is that going to happen on Sunday at 3:30? No, I think that the Knicks are better suited to go take that game and then go home and win game five in the Garden. And I don't think OG Anunoby has to play. And if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm smiling about that. That's what we got. The first game that they didn't have OG, that was what the game looked like. And the whole world is saying, oh, here come the Pacers now. Oh, they can't keep up with the Pacers. That's the lowest scoring game of the series. Oh, well, you know, the Pacers, man, they shoot so many shots. Oh, they got so many ways to score. They're so deep. Their bench, that's their best effort. That's their desperation effort to not go down 3-0 in the series. Advantage Knicks. 877-337-6666. We got a break. Plenty of show left. If you'd like to get your thoughts and takes in, I just don't want to get into the basketball school film study, breaking down a loss like that. The Knicks have given you guys thrills for weeks, months. And they have more to come, more show to come, more Yankees talk, and we'll get into the Mets as well. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Yeah, yeah. Your boy came on the Fan, you heard? 877-337, a six, a six, and two more sixes. I'll get you on the show. Do not adjust your radio. Up, up, and away we go. I want to talk to the Yankee fans a little bit as, you know, we were just doing that, and you just heard a interaction between myself and Charlie, if you were listening before the break, you know, what goes on in 203 at the game. And man, I'm so excited for the next homestand and for the weather to really like break. I thought the weather broke, and I walked outside this morning to take out the garbage with shorts and flip-flops. It was raining. It was like 45 degrees. I was like, bro, we take one step forward, two steps back around here. But for the Yankee fans, man, be positive. I know it's hard. You hear me always say the greatest rivalry in baseball is Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. We're not content. Like, I found myself going back and forth with some Yankee fans online the other day about Oswaldo Cabrera. And what I was saying was like, yo, leave Oswaldo at third base and put John Birdie at second base. Why is it that Oswaldo is the guy that gets jerked around with this new guy on the team? I know John Birdie is a veteran. I know John Birdie is decent with the glove or whatnot, but if anybody in that infield should be getting a break or a rest or even benched, if you want to call it that, it's Gleyber Torres. Oswaldo has been one of the better surprises of the season. Most people thought that he would not play. Most people thought that he couldn't hit. We didn't know what side of the plate he was going to hit, what position he was going to play. And again today, Gleyber Torres, 0 for 4 with his strikeout. John Birdie had two hits. So, like, you're trading off Oswaldo and Birdie, and both of the, like, Birdie has come back. Birdie hasn't even been back a week. He's contributing. What is it, man, with Gleyber Torres? They love Gleyber Torres, bro. I'm so done with the whole Gleyber Torres experiment. But I understand. You have to play him in hopes that he hits, in hopes that he gets hot when the weather gets hot. And then if he runs into some homers, Wakanda!
Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And we gotta roll with the winners. The Yankees win, so the Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is Anthony Rizzo. Nobody beats the Riz, Don Antonio Rizzo. He did it. He won the game himself. The single early in the fourth inning, and then the insurance run, solo shot late. Appreciate you, Riz. Glad you're not concussed. Glad you're seeing it. Glad you're proving everybody you can still get it done. You're not washed. You're not old. Actually, batting sixth in the lineup, I like you down there. In his last, let's say, let's go to his last 15 games. In his last 15 games, he's got 18 hits, 5 homers, 12 ribbies, 5 walks. He's batting .321 in that span. Come on, yo. Anthony Rizzo, Casamigos, big shot of the night. I see you, Riz. 877-337-6666. On a team with Aaron Judge, who's starting to look like Aaron Judge again. On a team with Juan Soto, who's looking like an American League MVP candidate. On a team with Giancarlo Stanton, who's hitting the ball harder than everybody in baseball. On a team with young, promising talent like Anthony Volpe and Oswaldo Cabrera. You appreciate the dog and Alex Verdugo, but a guy like Anthony Rizzo, who is a World Series champion, who is a multi-time All-Star, and definitely just like the commander-in-chief next to Judge's captain, he led the way tonight, and he won the game. That's all on Riz. A little bit on Clark Schmidt in the bullpen as well, but he put up the two runs to win the game 2-0. 877-337-6666. Ryan is in Hazlitt on the Fan in New York.
Yo, what's up, Keith? How you doing, my Duke?
Good, boy. How are you?
Yo, I would have thrown on some Jaquan. You know, everybody getting clubbed, getting tipsy with that guy's call. So, oh, man. Yo, one thing about the Knicks. Yo, the biggest thing about them, they're grinders. Regardless of whatever these big guys are going to say, oh, the Knicks. They grind you down, and they play defense, they play tough, and that's what I love about this team. It's not like you got these superstars, and I actually don't think the league likes it that the Knicks have a team with, you know, guys who are good players, and they're like, and then we're just all boisterous because we know we got a good team.
Yeah, they don't have a Giannis, they don't have a LeBron, they don't have a Luka. They just have a bunch of guys that nobody thought from even college coming into the league were going to be stars, be anything, and they play team basketball. They play good ball. They're fun to watch. That's why I'm not hating on them. I've watched all these playoff games. I watched them this whole season, and their style of basketball keeps them in a lot of games, and more than not, they're going to win games like that down the stretch.
Oh, they got guys who just want ball, you know? That's all it is. They just want a ball on both sides of the court. And then Tibbs got them all working somehow, you know? So that's how it always works, you know? The best. When it comes to the playoffs, it ends up becoming the best team at some point. You know, I know talent in the NBA comes out, but, you know, if you've got a whole team working.
It's a team game. One guy can take over the game, but you need so many guys to make plays, to rebound, to make the right pass, to knock down foul shots, to be smart and not foul in certain situations. And I think they have the right guys.
Yeah, and then that's the same thing with the Yankees. You got the whole team playing right now, you know?
Yeah, with, any night.
It's so funny how, like, the team is 650 winning percentage, and everybody's like, I don't know about this guy and this guy. I'm like, guys.
I don't know what they're watching. I don't know. I watched the Yankees go 82-80 last year. I don't know what anyone is watching this year that they're not smiling about the 2024 Yankee team.
We didn't have Judge for a month, basically. And we didn't have Cole for a month.
We don't have Garrett Cole. We don't have the reigning Cy Young winner. We don't have Cole Day every 5 days.
Yeah. Like, seriously. Like it's like, come on, guys. You know, it's like this team
they,
is just...
They just expect them to be the 98 Yankees and win the World Series the first month of the season.
Oh, yeah. And it's one thing on a lighter note. What did you think about Ben Simmons' outfit at the Met Gala?
All right, I got to let you go, Ryan. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you. Once a Duke, always a Duke. Shout out to JMU. That's my guy, Ryan, who spent a couple of semesters down in Harrisonburg, as did I. He got out of there. And some like 3-4 years later, I spent some time down there and got right up out of there. If you know, you know. But yeah, I'm content with the Yankees right now. Stay healthy. Get healthier. Keep getting guys back. We'll see, right? We'll see. 877-337-6666. Let's keep going to the calls and the phones. Man, I appreciate you guys. On a Friday night after 11 o'clock, we've got a bunch of calls. I'm going to roll through them. I'm on till 2. And we're going to run through the tape. I want to get all your thoughts and, you know, takes on the Knicks game. Tell me what you saw, what you felt, how you feel about the rest of the series. Charlie is in Queens next up on the Fan.
Hello. I'm sorry, a little delayed. I was on my headphones, but I wanted to go on
phone. I gotcha.
Okay. First, the Knicks, they remind me of Rocky Balboa. Every time you think they're out, they come back.
That's great. That you're the second guy with a Rocky reference, and maybe that's what I was thinking too when I was comparing him to a fighter, to a boxer. Yeah, they're Rocky. Forget Philadelphia.
And with the Yankees, I was at the Tuesday game.
I was there, too.
I was the guy who gave you the beware of dork sign.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What's up, bro?
You inspired me. I'm even wearing the dog collar. My friends are like, what's up with the dog collar? I said, Verdugo, bro. We dogs.
Yeah. At least we have something right this year to play into. And as soon as you handed me that sign, Verdugo hit the three-run bomb. And I'm like, yo, this is like, play into it. It's fun.
It's Kizma. Oh, and Chico.
And Chico got that ball.
The guy next to me. Yeah, Chico got the ball because the guy next to me didn't know it hit off Chico. So I'm hearing the person next to me go, oh, please give Chico the ball. And I went up to the guy, I tapped, and I said, dude, can you give it to Chico? He's an old guy. He's the one who holds the flag. Yeah. He holds the flag.
Give that ball to Chico. And they started chanting. And I saw Chico posted that on his Facebook, and he was so happy about that. Good. Chico is my OG. I love Chico.
I love him, and, you know, I love you. I'm a mild bleacher creature, but,
you're
his
there.
Family.
You're there. I've seen you there a bunch, and I know you might not be as loud or as crazy as some of the rest of us in the section when we get going, but that was a hell of a game Tuesday. It was fun. And, yeah, you passed me the energy. I have that beware of dog sign. I have two now. I have the one I have, and it's at my house. And I have yours up here in my locker at WFAN.
Excellent. And just one last thing is with the Yankees, people got to stop complaining. When we're 12 games above 500 this early,
yeah,
just enjoy.
Yeah, I don't get it. I read Yankees Twitter and people want to, you know, it's one thing to complain about a Gleyber Torres. It's one thing to complain about, you know, but it's like all in all, this team is good. They're hitting their stride. Any night, somebody can be the hero, whether it's Verdugo like it was Tuesday night with us, whether it's Rizzo, whether it's Soto so many times. Like, this is fun. This is how it's supposed to feel. They're the New York Yankees. This is what they're supposed to look like. They're winning.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night, and long live the evil empire.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Charlie. Yeah, that was great. Shout out to Millie, too. If you guys saw the picture I put up, one's on the clock as I unlock my phone. There was a picture that I put up Tuesday at the game where I was like, I tried to tell him and I had the dogs and I had the beware of dog sign. My guy Charlie from Queens is in the bleachers a couple rows back. He spots me, hands me the beware of dog sign, and then Verdugo takes Verlander deep, and it was lit after that. 10 runs. And then the next night, 9 runs. And Aiden from Yonkers calls to say, oh, these guys were out in Houston. All they did was strike out. I don't know what you're talking about, bro. They swept last time they were in Houston, and they were in the Bronx. And the Houston Astros teed off on Marcus Stroman in the first inning, and that's all they had to break a almost 10-game losing streak to the New York Yankees. If you're a Yankee fan, how can you be upset with the New York Yankees right now, dominating our current rival, not the Red Sox, our arch nemesis right now, the team that you lose sleep over, the team that you wake up and it's game 6 and Altuve, buzzer. 877-337-6666. John is in Newburgh, New York. John, you're on the Fan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Listen, there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about. I told your producer I wanted to talk about the last shot, Brunson's last shot. But before I hang up, I wanted you to also realize something. Well, first of all, I do a lot of coaching. I played a lot of sports and I played ball, you know, and, I always tell the guys, look, the final score is going to indicate who has the most rebounds in the game. And if you look at the totals, like if you're sitting there watching this Knick game tonight and you had the stats with you, maybe on your phone, looking at the box score, and you'll see Indiana take a 6-point lead, and then you look at how many rebounds are total at that point, you'll see Indiana has maybe a 6-rebound advantage, and then you'll see a Knicks make a run and take the lead, and then you look at the rebound totals, and the Knicks will be up by 2 or 3 points or 2 or 3 rebounds. It sort of goes hand in hand. And at the end of the game tonight, when you looked at the final score, Knicks lost, okay, by 5, and yet when you look at the rebounds,
even
it was 42-41, Indiana won by the one rebound. And that one rebound was on the missed shot by Brunson at the end. They got the rebound. They got fouled.
Yeah.
So they had the one extra rebound, and they hit the 2 foul shots to make the 3-point lead a 5-point lead.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, knowing all this, what I'm saying is, so he makes the the big shot, a desperation shot at the end of the, you know, the Indiana guy makes a desperation shot. He was 1 of 7 going into that shot at the buzzer. Timeout, 17.1 seconds left. Knicks make a play. They call the play in the huddle. They send out 5 3-point shooters. And Brunson gets the ball and shoots it with 12 seconds left, triple teamed. And I'm wondering, you know, you draw the triple team. You have 12 seconds remaining on the clock shot, in the game shot, okay? You have a triple team, pull it back out.
Yeah, make the right play.
Swing it around to DiVincenzo, who's 7 of 11 at that point, when Brunson was 2 of 6, okay? DiVincenzo was on fire all night. It was the best game of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, try to find a way to get the ball to him. Yeah. I realize Brunson's your man.
Right.
He's been your man all year.
Closing time in the fourth quarter, he's the guy. He's your closer.
He's your guy, and he's not having it tonight. Okay, he's 10 of 26 from the field. DiVincenzo's 12 of 26, but he's 7 of 11 from 3 tonight. And you've got a triple team with 12 seconds left. You know, I mean, draw up a play where you draw the triple team, somebody runs at you. Maybe it's Alex Burks. He catches the pass and swings it around, and you got DiVincenzo.
All in all, thanks for the call, John. All in all, like, and I just got it. We got to move it on. We're not going to go through every single, like, what it could have, should have. Like, all in all, they didn't make the right plays down the stretch. That's going to happen. But you're not going to fault Brunson. You're not going to think that Brunson's supposed to give it up to Dante DiVincenzo in the moment. It is what it is. You know, it is what it is. He wants to take the shot. He's been the guy to take the shot. He had, what, 21 points in the fourth the other night? It's a loss. It's a series. It's the first loss in a series. It's okay. Don't live in every second of, like, I'm looking at the play-by-play right now. You can't live in every second of the, like, well, if they could have did this or they could have did that. Live in the overall thought that you had in that game. Wow, this is the first game without OG Anunoby. These guys are going back to the team that they had to play with in March, April. They're getting guys off the bench like Jericho Sims, Alec Burks, that haven't played, and they're contributing. And they are not just competing, they are leading. They are beating the Pacers in their building in the playoffs. And I think it bodes well for the next game. I can't look at Brunson and all that he's done and be like, man, he didn't make the right play giving it up to DiVincenzo. He shot a shot. And you know what? When you look at the Pacers and how lucky they got down the stretch, like I said, Nembhard hits a 31-foot step-back jump shot with 17.1 left to make it 109-106. Knicks timeout. Okay, that is a prayer answered. Sometimes the basketball gods smile on you. Maybe he's prayed up because he had a terrible game. Maybe he's just prayed up like that, where God smiled on him, and the basketball God said, hey, give him one, man. These Indiana folks need it, man. Hicks versus Knicks, they've been crying all week about the officiating and the calls. Nembhard has finished with 5 points. He was 1 of 3, and that 1-3 won the game for them. Is that going to happen the next game? Is that going to happen on Sunday at 3:30? No, I think that the Knicks are better suited to go take that game and then go home and win game 5 in the Garden. And I don't think OG Anunoby has to play. And if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm smiling about that. That's what we got. The first game that they didn't have OG, that was what the game looked like. And the whole world is saying, oh, here come the Pacers now. Oh, they can't keep up with the Pacers. That's the lowest scoring game of the series. Oh, well, you know, the Pacers, man, they shoot so many shots. Oh, they got so many ways to score. They're so deep. Their bench, that's their best effort. That's their desperation effort to not go down 3-0 in the series. Advantage Knicks. 877-337-6666. We got a break. Plenty of show left. If you'd like to get your thoughts and takes in, I just don't want to get into the basketball school film study breaking down a loss like that. The Knicks have given you guys thrills for weeks, months. And they have more to come, more show to come, more Yankees talk, and we'll get into the Mets as well. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Yeah, yeah. Your boy KM on the Fan, you heard? 87-7, 33-7, a 6, and two more sixes. I'll get you on the show. Do not adjust your radio. Up, up, and away we go. I want to talk to the Yankee fans a little bit as, you know, we were just doing that. You just heard a interaction between myself and Charlie, if you were listening before the break, you know, what goes on in 203 at the game. And man, I'm so excited for the next homestand and for the weather to really like break. I thought the weather broke and I walked outside this morning to take out the garbage with shorts and flip-flops. It was raining. It was like 45 degrees. I was like, bro, we take one step forward, two steps back around here. But for the Yankee fans, man, be positive. I know it's hard. You hear me always say the greatest rivalry in baseball is Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. We're not content. Like, I found myself going back and forth with some Yankee fans online the other day about Oswaldo Cabrera. And what I was saying was like, yo, leave Oswaldo at third base and put John Birdie at second base. Why is it that Oswaldo is the guy that gets jerked around with this new guy on the team? I know John Birdie is a veteran. I know John Birdie is decent with the glove or whatnot, but if anybody in that infield should be getting a break or a rest or even benched, if you want to call it that, it's Gleyber Torres. Oswaldo has been one of the better surprises of the season. Most people thought that he would not play. Most people thought that he couldn't hit. We didn't know what side of the plate he was going to hit, what position he was going to play. And again today, Gleyber Torres, 0 for 4 with his strikeout. John Birdie had two hits. So, like, you're trading off Oswaldo and Birdie, and both of like, Birdie has come back. Birdie hasn't even been back a week. He's contributing. What is it, man, with Gleyber Torres? They love Gleyber Torres, bro. I'm so done with the whole Gleyber Torres experiment. But I understand. You have to play him in hopes that he hits, in hopes that he gets hot when the weather gets hot. And then if he runs into some homers, raises his average, he'll be of value to someone so you can trade him for something. But right now, his value is nothing. And I look at the Yankees, I'm like, that's your own fault. Like, you could have traded him for the last 3 years. And now he's in his contract year having one of the worst years. That's one of the only things, you know. And I was the argument I was having, someone was like, Oswaldo's not that productive. You think he's... I'm like, he... At one point, when Judge had 18 RBI, Oswaldo had 18 RBI. That don't make any sense. Oswaldo is a guy that is in his second year, and he's been clutch. He's hit home run. Talk about Rizzo winning the game tonight, 2-0. Oswaldo won that game in Baltimore, 2-0. So I hope that I see the Yankees maybe tomorrow, maybe this weekend, say, Gleyber, take a seat, buddy. Just a mental health day, a reset day. We're not benching you. But why not put John Birdie at second base or Oswaldo at second base or one of them at third base so you can have them both in at the same time? Let's go to Alex in Bethel, Connecticut on the Fan. What's up, Alex?
What up, Keith? How's it going, man?
Good. Hanging out.
I just I want to talk about Yankees pitching, how solid it's been lately.
Yeah, don't need Blake Snell. Don't need Jordan Montgomery, Corbin Burns, Dylan Cease.
No, you know, Clark, he went, I think he tied his career long going into a game.
Yeah,
you know, it's
6 2/3.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way Boone's been managing him, you know, like, and I think it was in the 7th, he gave up a hit. And, you know, Susan was talking about how she thought she was going to see him, you know, come out to the mound. But, you know, he stayed put and just let his guy work, and they got through it. And, you know, it's good to see, you know, the confidence that Boone has with the staff. And, you know, even when the bats aren't working, you know, we get the little stuff done. And Riz, he's just, you know, the rock lately. But it's just every day you wake up excited to watch the Yankees.
There you go. You're not dreading the game. 87 pitches for Clark Schmidt tonight, 57 of them strikes. And when you look at Anthony Rizzo, you think about how much we actually did miss Rizzo. when he played those 2 months concussed and then he got shut down. Like, this guy is a consistent hitter. He's a professional hitter. He crowds the plate, and when he gets a pitch that he can hit, he's on top of it. And if he's not getting a pitch that he can hit, he's walking or taking a hit by pitch, and he's a pro, man. It's I don't know. It's a good spot right now for the Yankees to be in, especially for me. Losing that series in Baltimore, I wanted to know if that would send them up or down, right? How would they respond to that? They've responded.
Yeah, they definitely have. And, you know, losing that last one against the Astros, you know, it's tough, but that's...
They fought back. Stroman gave it up in the first inning, and they fought back. They were, you know, out a hit, or, you know, they were close to coming back. I don't know. I wasn't even mad at that because it's baseball, Susan. Or it's Susan Baseball. It's like they're going to win a game. The Astros aren't going to lose 10 straight to anybody.
Yeah, you know, like it's what, you know, teams need sometimes to refocus and reset. And they did it today, first game of the homestand. So hopefully they keep it up down there at the Trop, and we'll keep it going. But I also, you know, about hockey, right? So I understand that you're kind of new to being like a Devils fan and everything. And I was just wondering if you ever got to hear Doc Emrick call games. I know he retired a couple years ago.
No, I know the name Mike Emrick, Doc Emrick, but I can't recall any of his greatest calls or ever listening to him on the call, no.
If, you know, if you ever got the time and just like YouTube him, and check out some of his calls, just like the passion and the way he does it. Like, it's what made me a big hockey fan.
Okay.
And I think you would appreciate it too.
Yeah, I'll look it up during the next break. Thanks for the call, Alex. 877-337-6666. Yeah, I always think about the Tampa Bay Rays, and, you know, even going back to like beef with them with CeCe, that's for you, bitch, and CeCe costing himself $500,000, you know, because it was like that, like Austin Romine and like those teams, and how the Tampa Bay Rays were always like a thorn in our side, and, you know, how we're on two different sides of the coin. What the Tampa Bay Rays are able to do with no money, spending no bread, with no fans, like a Friday night in that terrible tent of a ballpark, they have half the fans that the Yankees draw on a Monday, Tuesday. They have 18,000 fans in that place on a Friday night. Yankees pulled 36,000 fans. It could just as past Tuesday. But that's also a home away from home. So that 18,000 fans, 5,000 of them are Yankee fans, because that's where the Yankees have their spring training. And a lot of these guys have apartments or places down there. You know, they're comfortable down there. And I heard Susan say this on the broadcast at the end, that, you know, St. Petersburg, Trashacana Field used to be a house of horrors for the Yankees. That turf, guys getting hurt on that turf. And, you know, the Rays just finding ways to beat the Yankees. And, man, they just had so many stupid things. They used to have a cowbell in there. They had DJ Kitty. They had, like, three different mascots. They had, like, an actual Devil Ray mascot. And then now they have, I don't know, whatever. But either way, what I'm saying is the Yankees go down and take that first game. I expect them to take the series and maybe even sweep. The Rays are not good this year. They're not a threat. Remember last year when they started off 13-0 and everybody's talking about, oh, how great they are and how they're going to definitely win the division. And no, it's not their year this year. Let's go to Sparky and Dobbs Ferry. What's up, Sparky?
First of all, first time caller to your show.
Thank you.
And I think you're doing very good.
Thanks.
Now, I have one Yankee point and one Nick point. With the Yankees, to me, the most impressive thing is they're playing so well that they don't even have to rush Gerrit Cole back.
Yes, but also I keep putting, I've been saying since the beginning of the season, look at the schedule in June. We're going to need him in June. But no rush, but we're going to need him at some point in June.
You know, just the fact that he can take his time and be totally ready when he comes back. Because if they weren't playing good, they might try to force him back too soon, and that's when he can get hurt again.
Yeah, they did that with Nestor last year, and then Nestor threw the hardest pitch of his career, and then he was shut down the rest of the season.
Okay. Now, as far as the Knicks, when you hear Trayvon Green commenting about the Knicks, it's hard to keep a straight face. Because it's like, just think about this. It's like, does this guy have a memory at all? Recently, the Warriors had the best regular season a team ever had, but they lost in the finals because Trayvon Green got suspended for being a jerk.
Speak on it. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. This past year, or just this season, right, Steph looked like he wanted to cry as Draymond was getting ejected from games. Draymond Green has cost Steph Curry greatness, right? Like, Draymond Green is on his way to just being a straight-up podcaster talking head, and he's not even good at that. He's been wrong. Oh, no way. They're not going to be able to stop Joel. They're not beating the Sixers.
You know, it's funny,
this run is a fluke. Sorry, Sparky, but I wanted to say tonight, I literally have in my notes that Knicks fans need to realize if the Knicks don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, which I think they will, or Finals this year, they're in a championship window. Look at how these guys play. These guys aren't old. They're not going anywhere. Like, this is the beginning of like a 4 or 5 year window of the Knicks doing this in May every year. I don't know what the hell Draymond is talking about.
You know what's funny though? All these guys talking about the Knicks, they're jealous of the Knicks.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's like, oh, they're so used to the LOL Knicks and New York having a laughable team, and they don't have the fans like this. The Warriors have fans. They're not mobbing in the streets like the Knicks fans. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have the support like the Knicks have.
I mean, Keith, the Knicks are an easy team to like.
Yeah, because the way they play, it's good basketball to watch. I don't know how people could hate on it, but there's a lot of people hating on it.
But keep up the good work.
Okay? Yes, sir. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the first call. 877-337-6666. Yeah, I got to go pull that up, too. I saw the New York Post wrote about it. Draymond Green thinks the Knicks are a fluke and setting fans up for misery. How you figure that? Where'd you come up with that one? He says, in the Eastern Conference, you can get to the conference finals, a la the Atlanta Hawks, by playing like very mid teams. So that's what you all are doing right now. And I think what this is setting y'all up for is what happened to the Atlanta Hawks 3 years ago when they made the conference finals and they never got back. Bro, shut up. That was such a warped year coming out of the pandemic. That season was played with no fans. What are you talking about? What are you on, bro? That was one of the weirdest years in sports, that two-year period. That's why it was fluky for the Hawks. To compare this Knicks team that this front office has slowly built and put together, right, without using their draft capital, without spending all of their money, what leads you to believe that they can't get better? That they can't, if they're doing this with less, come on, I don't know. I saw that Draymond Green take and I'm like, damn, he's big hating. Mario, my guy in Long Beach, how are you?
What's going on, Keith?
You know, hosting.
You know, I agree with all your points, especially what you're saying about the Knicks and Draymond, and also what you said about Indiana, they're not impressed. Well, think about the game tonight, right? So the Knicks almost won the game, and they got 3/5 of their starting lineup out, and their best player is hurt, and yet they still almost won. Indiana's not even on the same planet as them.
Yeah,
really
that's demoralizing. Even though, so right on the other side, you think that the Pacers are in the locker room, you know, fist bumping and pounding their chest. Yeah, we got it. Here we come. They're like, hey, we barely survived. Like, these guys are dogs.
And one point I want to make, and tell me if they, right now, Brunson, the way he's playing, right? Well, he was hurt a little bit today, but overall, like those four games and whatever he's doing, he's the best player in the NBA right now. So yeah,
want to say Anthony Edwards is the next Michael Jordan. But if you look at what Brunson has, like, obviously in the last game, he missed some time. So his under hit, he had 29 points. And then tonight, you could tell he was hobbled early. He had 26 points, but like this guy still gives you that on his off nights,
right? Don't you think? What do you think? Do you think he's the best player in basketball right now? Listen to you. Nice talking to you, buddy. Great show as always.
Thanks for the call. I think he's the best player in these playoffs right now because of what he's doing without the supporting cast that the other guys have. As my eyes are currently on the Denver-Minnesota game, I've been low-key watching the Denver Nuggets look like the defending champs again. They are up 93-66 with a little less than 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They're easily going to win this one. Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, is a special talent, but he was the number one overall pick. Where was Jalen Brunson picked? He was a second-round guy. Like, look at the supporting cast he has. They have a deep team. He also has Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Mike Conley, Naz Reid. Like, I look at what Brunson's been able to do with just his college buddies, his roommates, and a guy like Isaiah Hartenstein, who nobody was checking for. And now Precious Achiuwa, Pride of the Bronx, the Big Sneeze, starting. And they're literally pulling like Jericho Sims and Alec Burks off the bench and going into Indiana and scaring the hell out of the Pacers and their fans tonight. Advantage Knicks. 877-337-6666. Jalen Brunson has been the best story, best player in these playoffs. And the Knicks are the best story. But, yo, it's tough. People do not like us. They do not like New York. They do not like the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves, how expensive things are here, the bravado that we have, and the fact that this Knicks team matches and they carry themselves with the same energy. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'm on till 2, so we got about 2 hours and some change left. Let's take a break so we can get back to your calls. Don't go anywhere. BRB. Right back at it. KM to 2 a.m. It's about to be midnight. After this break, we'll have the update. I'll say good morning on the other side, and then it's Saturday, and then we'll roll on. Taking your calls. You know the number to dial. Let's see if I can get a couple more calls in, and then we'll reset, and I'll bring in some different topics and some things to talk about. I know some of you guys probably saw Malik Nabers, right? Giants receiver, number 9. We'll definitely talk about that. It's always time to talk football. I'm ready for football already. Is that crazy? Like, I know we're in the middle of the playoffs for NHL and NBA, but there's like good mojo going on around here with these teams. So I'm like, yo, get the NFL started because the NFL is king. Maybe the Jets are going to be good. Maybe the Giants are going to surprise some people. We'll talk football once we get to Saturday. Let's get back to the phone. Anthony in Westchester, talk to me. You're up.
Hey, what's up, Keith? It's Anthony from Westchester. I just got a question right now for you. I got kind of two questions. So I was at the game the other night, right? And I've never seen the players, like Soto, Judge, and Verdugo, the way they interact with the fans. It was just something else. Like the vibes in the Bronx this year are just it. Like what can you like tell is different from this year than last year?
I can speak exactly to it because I spend a lot of time looking at how these guys, one, they're having fun. And that's it's baseball.
Yeah,
it should be fun. Last year wasn't fun. Scoring 3 runs, getting shut out, other team bum ass teams like the Nationals coming in here and beating us. You go to Colorado, it wasn't fun. This year is fun. There is a different vibe and energy. And the second thing I'll say is, you know, the Yankees are so corporate and buttoned up, and there's the Yankee way, and you got to do things a certain way, and you got to dress a certain way and shave. And man, I think that the presence of Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo and Marcus Stroman, their personalities and their performance and their bravado and how they carry themselves, I think the Yankees have kind of loosened up a little bit, and they're letting these guys be themselves. Like Juan Soto, every at-bat, he's pounding his hip, he's shuffling, he's saying no, 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 showing up the pitcher. Alex Verdugo brought this whole, whoa, 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 this whole dog culture in here. They had to tell him, man, you can't wear 3 chains, bro, just 1 chain. He's tatted up. Stroman is tatted up with a do-rag on under his Yankee cap. It's just a little bit different forms of expression with the players, and I think these guys are really allowed to just be themselves, and that clubhouse, I think, is tighter than it's been in years before.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say another thing is that, I do agree with the Yankee way and everything, but I like the expression stuff, the stuff you said with Verdugo's chain and stuff. You know, like keep them intact or whatever. You know, I've been listening since, I don't know, when he started, 2022, long-time caller.
first time listener, you know what I mean? And I just got one more question about Clay Holmes. I mean, I know the whole stigma around him, he's very wild and stuff, but just like cardiac Clay, bro, my prostate exams give me some cardiac, cardiac Clay, something else.
No, it's a good name for him. Thanks for the call, Anthony. I know Yankee fans are calling him Cardiac Clay. And in the beginning of the season, I was like, do you also suffer from shortness of breath? And, like, you know, I did the whole, drug read, like, you know, when Clay Holmes is on the mound. But I'm putting respect on his name because he's got a ton of saves. He hasn't blown it. Nobody's perfect. And that's a hard job to do. One, it's a hard job for any team in baseball. Go look around, right? You just saw Josh Hader. Obviously, he did what he had to do 2 days ago against the Yankees. But, like, what they paid Josh Hader, what they paid Edwin Diaz, have those guys been as lights out as Clay Holmes? They haven't. They haven't. It's not easy. You're facing the best of the best with the game on the line. And I don't expect Clay to not give up a hit here and there. Like I said, he's on his way to Arlington. He's on his way to being an All-Star. Another month of performing like this, he's definitely going to be in the All-Star game. All right. 877-337-6666. Call now. It's wide open. We're going to break. We'll have the update. When we come back, I'll reset topics and things to talk about. And I'll say good morning on the other side. 2 hours to go. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this. Yeah, yeah. Your boy KM on the Fan, you heard? 877-337. A six, a six, and two more sixes. I'll get you on the show. Do not adjust your radio. Up, up, and away we go. I want to talk to the Yankee fans a little bit as, you know, we were just doing that. And you just heard a interaction between myself and Charlie, if you were listening before the break. You know, what goes on in 203 at the game. And, man, I'm so excited for the next homestand and for the weather to really, like, break. I thought the weather broke, and I walked outside this morning to take out the garbage with shorts and flip-flops. It was raining. It was, like, 45 degrees. I was like, bro, we take one step forward, two steps back around here. But for the Yankee fans, man, be positive. I know it's hard. You hear me always say the greatest rivalry in baseball is Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans. We're not content. Like, I found myself going back and forth with some Yankee fans online the other day about Oswaldo Cabrera. And what I was saying was like, yo, leave Oswaldo at third base and put John Birdie at second base. Why is it that Oswaldo is the guy that gets jerked around with this new guy on the team? I know John Birdie is a veteran. I know John Birdie is decent with the glove or whatnot, but if anybody in that infield should be getting a break or a rest or even benched, if you want to call it that, it's Gleyber Torres. Oswaldo has been one of the better surprises of the season. Most people thought that he would not play. Most people thought that he couldn't hit. We didn't know what side of the plate he was going to hit, what position he was going to play. And again today, Gleyber Torres, 0 for 4 with his strikeout. John Birdie had two hits. So, like, you're trading off Oswaldo and Birdie, and both of the, like, Birdie has come back. Birdie hasn't even been back a week. He's contributing. What is it, man, with Gleyber Torres? They love Gleyber Torres, bro. I'm so done with the whole Gleyber Torres experiment, but I understand. You have to play him in hopes that he hits, in hopes that he gets hot when the weather gets hot. And then if he runs into some homers, raises his average, he'll be of value to someone so you can trade him for something. But right now, his value is nothing. And I look at the Yankees, I'm like, that's your own fault. Like, you could have traded him for the last 3 years. And now he's in his contract year having one of the worst years. That's one of the only things, you know. And I was the argument I was having, someone was like, Oswaldo's not that productive. You think he's... I'm like, at one point, when Judge had 18 RBI, Oswaldo had 18 RBI. That don't make any sense. Oswaldo is a guy that is in his second year, and he's been clutch. He's hit home run. Talk about Rizzo winning the game tonight, 2-0. Oswaldo won that game in Baltimore, 2-0. So I hope that I see the Yankees maybe tomorrow, maybe this weekend, say, Gleyber, take a seat, buddy. Just a mental health day, a reset day. We're not benching you. But why not put John Birdie at second base or Oswaldo at second base or one of them at third base so you can have them both in at the same time? Let's go to Alex in Bethel, Connecticut on the Fan. What's up, Alex?
What up, Keith? How's it going, man?
Good. Hanging out.
I just I want to talk about Yankees pitching, how solid it's been lately.
Yeah, don't need Blake Snell. Don't need Jordan Montgomery, Corbin Burns, Dylan Cease.
No, you know, Clark, he went, I think he tied his career long going into a game.
Yeah,
you know,
so six and two-thirds.
And, you know, the way Boone's been managing him, you know, like, and I think it was in the seventh, he gave up a hit. And, you know, he Susan was talking about how she thought she was going to see him, you know, come out to the mound. But, you know, he stayed put and just let his guy work. And they got through it. And, you know, it's good to see, you know, the confidence that Boone has with the staff. And, you know, even when the bats aren't working, you know, we get the little stuff done. And Riz, he's just, you know, the rock lately. But it's just every day you wake up excited to watch the Yankees.
There
you
go. There you go. You're not dreading the game. 87 pitches for Clark Schmidt tonight, 57 of them strikes. And when you look at Anthony Rizzo, you think about how much we actually did miss Rizzo when he played those 2 months concussed, and then he got shut down. Like, this guy is a consistent hitter. He's a professional hitter. He crowds the plate, and when he gets a pitch that he can hit, he's on top of it. And if he's not getting a pitch that he can hit, he's walking or taking a hit by pitch, and he's a pro, man. It's I don't know. It's a good spot right now for the Yankees to be in, especially for me. Losing that series in Baltimore, I wanted to know if that would send them up or down, right? How would they respond to that? They've responded.
Yeah, they definitely have. And, you know, losing that last one against the Astros, you know, it's tough, but that's...
They fought back. Stroman, you know, gave it up in the first inning, and they fought back. They were, you know, a hit, or, you know, they were close to coming back. I don't know. I wasn't even mad at that because it's baseball, Susan. Or it's Susan baseball. It's like they're going to win a game. The Astros aren't going to lose 10 straight to anybody.
Yeah, you know, like it's, you know, it's what, you know, teams need sometimes to refocus and reset. And they, you know, they did it today, first game of the homestand. So hopefully they keep it up down there at the Trop, and we'll keep it going. But I also, you know, about hockey, right? So I understand that you're kind of new to being like a Devils fan and everything. And I was just wondering if you ever got to hear Doc Emrick call games. I know he retired a couple years ago.
No, I know the name Mike Emrick, Doc Emrick, but I can't recall any of his greatest calls or ever listening to him on the call, no.
If, you know, if you ever got the time and just like YouTube him, and check out some of his calls, just like the passion and the way he does it. Like, it's what made me a big hockey fan.
Okay.
And I think you would appreciate it, too.
Yeah, I'll look it up during the next break. Thanks for the call, Alex. 877-337-6666. Yeah, I always think about the Tampa Bay Rays and, you know, even going back to, like, beef with them with CeCe, that's for you, bitch, and CeCe costing himself $500,000, you know, because it was like that, like Austin Romine and like those teams, and how the Tampa Bay Rays were always like a thorn in our side, and, you know, how we're on two different sides of the coin. What the Tampa Bay Rays are able to do with no money, spending no bread, with no fans, like a Friday night in that terrible tent of a ballpark. They have half the fans that the Yankees draw on a Monday, Tuesday. They have 18,000 fans in that place on a Friday night. Yankees pulled 36,000 fans. It could just as past Tuesday. But that's also a home away from home. So that 18,000 fans, 5,000 of them are Yankee fans, because that's where the Yankees have their spring training. And a lot of these guys have apartments or places down there. You know, they're comfortable down there. And I heard Susan say this on the broadcast at the end that, you know, St. Petersburg, Trashacana Field used to be a house of horrors for the Yankees. That turf, guys getting hurt on that turf. and, you know, the Rays just finding ways to beat the Yankees. And, man, they just had so many stupid things. They used to have a cowbell in there. They had DJ Kitty. They had, like, three different mascots. They had, like, an actual Devil Ray mascot. And then now they have, I don't know, whatever. But either way, what I'm saying is the Yankees go down, take that first game. I expect them to take the series and maybe even sweep. The Rays are not good this year. They're not a threat. Remember last year when they started off 13-0 and everybody's talking about, oh, how great they are and how they're going to definitely win the division. And no, it's not their year this year. Let's go to Sparky in Dobbs Ferry. What's up, Sparky?
First of all, first time caller to your show.
Thank you.
And I think you're doing very good.
Thanks.
Now, I have one Yankee point and one Nick point. With the Yankees, to me, the most impressive thing is they're playing so well that they don't even have to rush Gerrit Cole back.
Yes, but also I've been saying since the beginning of the season, look at the schedule in June. We're going to need him in June. But rush, but we're going to need him at some point in June.
You know, just the fact that he can take his time and be totally ready when he comes back. Because if they weren't playing good, they might try to force him back too soon, and that's when he can get hurt again.
Yeah, they did that with Nestor last year, and then Nestor threw the hardest pitch of his career, and then he was shut down the rest of the season.
Okay. Now, as far as the Knicks, when you hear Trayvon Green commenting about the Knicks, it's hard to keep a straight face. Because it's like, just think about this. It's like, does this guy have a memory at all? Recently, the Warriors had the best regular season a team ever had, but they lost in the finals because Trayvon Green got suspended for being a jerk.
Speak on it. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. This past year, or just this season, right, Steph looked like he wanted to cry as Draymond was getting ejected from games. Draymond Green has cost Steph Curry greatness. Right? Like Draymond Green is on his way to just being a straight up podcaster talking head. And he's not even good at that. He's been wrong. Oh, no way. They're not going to be able to stop Joel. They're not beating the Sixers.
You know, it's funny.
Oh, this run is a fluke. Sorry, Sparky. But I wanted to say tonight, I literally have in my notes that Knicks fans need to realize if the Knicks don't get to the Eastern Conference Finals, which I think they will, or finals this year, they're in a championship window. Look at how these guys play. These guys aren't old. They're not going anywhere. Like, this is the beginning of, like, a 4 or 5 year window of the Knicks doing this in May every year. I don't know what the hell Draymond is talking about.
You know what's funny, though? All these guys talking about the Knicks, they're jealous of the Knicks.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's like, oh, they're so used to the LOL Knicks and New York having a laughable team. And they don't have the fans like this. The Warriors have fans. They're not mobbing in the streets like the Knicks fans. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have the support like the Knicks have.
I mean, Keith, the Knicks are an easy team to like.
Yeah, because the way they play, it's good basketball to watch. I don't know how people could hate on it, but there's a lot of people hating on it.
But keep up the good work.
Okay? Yes, sir. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the first call. 877-337-6666. Yeah, I got to go pull that up, too. I saw the New York Post wrote about it. Draymond Green thinks the Knicks are a fluke and setting fans up for misery. How you figure that? Where'd you come up with that one? He says, in the Eastern Conference, you can get to the conference finals, a la the Atlanta Hawks, by playing like very mid teams. So that's what you all are doing right now. And I think what this is setting y'all up for is what happened to the Atlanta Hawks 3 years ago when they made the conference finals and they never got back. Bro, shut up. That was such a warped year coming out of the pandemic. That season was played with no fans. What are you talking about? What are you on, bro? That was one of the weirdest years in sports, that two-year period. That's why it was fluky for the Hawks. To compare this Knicks team that this front office has slowly built and put together, right, without using their draft capital, without spending all of their money, what leads you to believe that they can't get better? That they can't, if they're doing this with less, come on, I don't know. I saw that Draymond Green take and I'm like, damn, he's big hating. Mario, my guy in Long Beach, how are you?
What's going on, Keith?
You know. hosting.
You know, I agree with all your points, especially what you're saying about the Knicks and Draymond, and also what you said about Indiana. They're not impressed. Well, think about the game tonight, right? So the Knicks almost won the game, and they got 3/5 of their starting lineup out, and their best player is hurt. And yet they still almost won. Indiana's not even on the same planet as them.
Yeah,
really
that's demoralizing. Even though, so right on the other side, you think that the Pacers are in the locker room, you know, fist bumping and pounding their chest. Yeah, we got it. Here we come. They're like, hey, we barely survived. Like, these guys are dogs.
And one point I want to make, and tell me if they, right now, Brunson, the way he's playing, right? Well, he was hurt a little bit today, but overall, like those four games and whatever he's doing, he's the best player in the NBA right now. So yeah, I can't see anybody who I look at it.
They just want to say Anthony Edwards is the next Michael Jordan, but if you look at what Brunson has, like, obviously in the last game, he missed some time, so his under hit. He had 29 points, and then tonight, you could tell he was hobbled early. He had 26 points. But, like, this guy still gives you that on his off nights.
Right. But don't you think? What do you think? Do you think he's the best player in basketball right now? Listen to you. Nice talking to you, buddy. Great show, as always.
Thanks for the call. I think he's the best player in these playoffs right now because of what he's doing without the supporting cast that the other guys have. As my eyes are currently on the Denver-Minnesota game, I've been low-key watching the Denver Nuggets look like the defending champs again. They are up 93-66 with a little less than 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They're easily going to win this one. Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, is a special talent, but he was the number one overall pick. Where was Jalen Brunson picked? He was a second-round guy. Like, look at the supporting cast he has. They have a deep team. He also has Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Mike Conley, Naz Reid. Like, I look at what Brunson's been able to do with just his college buddies, his roommates, and a guy like Isaiah Hartenstein, who nobody was checking for. And now Precious Achiuwa, Pride of the Bronx, the Big Sneeze, starting. And they're literally pulling like Jericho Sims and Alec Burks off the bench and going into Indiana and scaring the hell out of the Pacers and their fans tonight. Advantage Knicks. 877-337-6666. Jalen Brunson has been the best story, best player in these playoffs. And the Knicks are the best story. But, yo, it's tough. People do not like us. They do not like New York. They do not like the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves, how expensive things are here, the bravado that we have, and the fact that this Knicks team matches and they carry themselves with the same energy. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'm on till 2, so we got about 2 hours and some change left. Let's take a break so we can get back to your calls. Don't go anywhere. BRB. Right back at it. KM to 2 a.m. It's about to be midnight. After this break, we'll have the update. I'll say good morning on the other side, and then it's Saturday, and then we'll roll on. Taking your calls. You know the number to dial. Let's see if I can get a couple more calls in, and then we'll reset, and I'll bring in some different topics and some things to talk about. I know some of you guys probably saw Malik Nabers, right? Giants receiver, number 9. We'll definitely talk about that. It's always time to talk football. I'm ready for football already. Is that crazy? Like, I know we're in the middle of the playoffs for NHL and NBA, but there's, like, good mojo going on around here with these teams. So I'm like, yo, get the NFL started because the NFL is king. Maybe the Jets are going to be good. Maybe the Giants are going to surprise some people. We'll talk football once we get to Saturday. Let's get back to the phone. Anthony in Westchester, talk to me. You're up.
Hey, what's up, Keith? It's Anthony from Westchester. I just got a question right now for you. I got kind of two questions. So I was at the game the other night, right? And I've never seen the players like Soto, Judge, and Verdugo. The way they interacted with the fans, it was just something else. Like the vibes in the Bronx this year are just it. Like what can you like tell is different from this year than last year?
I can speak exactly to it because I spend a lot of time looking at how these guys, one, they're having fun. And it's baseball.
Yeah,
it should be fun. Last year wasn't fun. Scoring 3 runs, getting shut out, Other team bum-ass teams like the Nationals coming in here and beating us. You go to Colorado. It wasn't fun. This year is fun. There is a different vibe and energy. And the second thing I'll say is, you know, the Yankees are so corporate and buttoned up, and there's the Yankee way, and you got to do things a certain way, and you got to dress a certain way and shave. And man, I think that the presence of Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo and Marcus Stroman, their personalities and their performance and their bravado and how they carry themselves, I think the Yankees have kind of loosened up a little bit, and they're letting these guys be themselves. Like Juan Soto, every at-bat, he's pounding his hip, he's shuffling, he's saying no, 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 showing up the pitcher. Alex Verdugo brought this whole, whoa, 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 this whole dog culture in here. They had to tell him, man, you can't wear three chains, bro, just one chain. He's tatted up. Stroman is tatted up with a do-rag on under his Yankee cap. It's just a little bit different forms of expression with the players, and I think these guys are really allowed to just be themselves, and that clubhouse, I think, is tighter than it's been in years before.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say another thing is that, I do agree with the Yankee way and everything, but I like the expression stuff, the stuff you said with Verdugo's chain and stuff. You know, like, keep them intact or whatever. You know, I've been listening since, I don't know, when you started, 2022, long-time caller, first-time listener, you know what I mean? And I just got one more question about Clay Holmes. I know the whole stigma around him, he's very wild and stuff, but just like cardiac Clay, bro, my prostate exams, give me some cardiac. Cardiac Clay, something else.
No, it's a good name for him. Thanks for the call, Anthony. I know Yankee fans are calling him Cardiac Clay. And in the beginning of the season, I was like, do you also suffer from shortness of breath? I did the whole, drug read, when Clay Holmes is on the mound. But I'm putting respect on his name because he's got a ton of saves. He hasn't blown it. Nobody's perfect, and that's a hard job to do. One, it's a hard job for any team in baseball. Go look around, right? You just saw Josh Hader. Obviously, he did what he had to do 2 days ago against the Yankees. But, like, what they paid Josh Hader, what they paid Edwin Diaz, have those guys been as lights out as Clay Holmes? They haven't. They haven't. It's not easy. You're facing the best of the best with the game on the line. And I don't expect Clay to not give up a hit here and there. Like I said, he's on his way to Arlington. He's on his way to being an all-star. Another month of performing like this, he's definitely going to be in the all-star game. All right, 877-337-6666. Call now. It's wide open. We're going to break. We'll have the update. When we come back, I'll reset topics and things to talk about, and I'll say good morning on the other side. 2 hours to go. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.